Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
4:08. It's Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow's December, so just brace yourself for it. I guess we got the wallop of snow that sort of gets you in the mindset, that's for sure. I feel like we need to talk weather because our guest today, we're not going to talk about the weather at all. Our guest is a meteorologist who is seen on KSTP, CARE, and Fox 9. There may be no one else in the country seen on multiple TV stations in the same market at the same time, sometimes even back to back. It's a segment we call Jason Talks to the Media. Mace Michaels is our guest, and it's so nice to meet you.
Hey, great to be here. Nice meeting you.
It was a little tricky to coordinate your schedule to come in because you are often on one TV station or another.
Just the way it works out.
Do you know of anyone else around the country with this sort of freelancer situation where you show up on different TV stations in the same market?
Not as much so in the same market. You know, yeah. In like the state, I freelanced roughly in the state 8 stations in the last year or two.
Wow.
It's just been needed and yeah. Helps there, but not really folks. You know TV as well as I do, better than I do.
Well, weather people are hard to come by. And
that's true.
You need... I mean, there's a live weathercast in every newscast. So most TV stations only have 3 or 4 meteorologists.
Right.
So if someone's sick, well, I've had to do the weather.
I would have liked to have seen that. I didn't catch that when you did.
It's not great. Actually,
It's not bad.
It's not bad. I knew how to set up the graphics.
Sure.
A little too much. Our morning meteorology. Meteorologist was like, let's like not learn how to operate the computer that well.
Is it Mike?
Russia? I don't need.
Augustinak?
Augustinak is the best. I cannot. I certainly can't learn it as well.
I've known him
does.
For years.
Mace,
good guy.
Why don't you start with? Is it weird to be on a bunch of different stations at the same time?
It's weird for me to be here at the Good Neighbor.
Right.
I mean, this is a station my grandma listened to growing up.
Yeah.
This was Steve Cannon's shift, man.
Right. Oh, I'm
Morgan Mundane and
a lot of people.
Mollinger.
If they don't like the show, they tell me all about how
hey,
I know Cannon.
Come on,
it's pretty
it's
good.
It
is. It is amazing
man.
To be. I mean, this is. It's such a part of so many people's lives in this state. It's cool to be here.
Yeah, grew up listening to it. I love it. Thank you for having me.
You asked.
No.
What's it like to be on a bunch of different stations at the same time?
You know, it's fun because I get to meet all of these great folks. I mean, you know how many talented folks work in this market.
Oh, yeah.
And I get to work with all of them, let alone watch these stations I grew up with. You know, Channel 5 I grew up watching when it was in the 80s. Well, I'm from Brainerd by Crosby, so a little town there just east of Brainerd. So these are stations I watched when I was a little kid. Channel 5, way back in the 80s, was the first station up there that we could get from the Metro. And then, you know, CARE years after that.
It's pretty cool.
Of course,
cool.
Fox 9.
Yeah.
When it was Independent News 9. I watched it as a kid.
Yes.
You know, I was a news nerd when I was a little kid. So,
do you ever mess up, like, the name of the station or the name of your co-anchor?
Thankfully, no.
Yeah.
No, it's just like if you were in here with somebody, you know, different. Or you were doing a live hit downtown somewhere else.
If I were a reporter where you had to do the out cue, I do think I would make a mistake. Where you have to say, like, you know, Jason DeRussia, 5 Eyewitness News. I think I would probably mess that up. But you don't have to do that.
I usually don't have to do that. The only time I really worry is as sometimes a couple of the stations still do the top of the hour type stuff. Or, they lead the newscast or a bump.
Yep.
And that worries me. You know, news starts now.
Better look around and make sure I say the right out cue.
Right, right. But every place is so different. Everybody does things a little differently in each studio that I'm really never put in that situation.
Do you dress differently depending on what station you're on?
Not really. Well, CARE being outside.
You have to go out in the backyard.
Yeah, so I get to wear
So you wear a coat.
Clothes, man. Oh, that's nice.
Right?
I am not a great suit and tie person. I fake it.
That's one of the nicest changes for me about this job.
I was going to say, look great, man. Yeah. Casual.
Casual is nice. I was allowed to grow a beard. Like, I didn't. Now, today, like, I could probably get a job at a TV station with a beard. There are plenty of people
sure,
with beards.
Sure.
But if you're clean shaven, they don't want you to change. They just sort of want it consistent.
No. And you know how it's been for years and years and years. That never changes.
Mace Michaels is our guest. He is people on Twitter today were so funny. Sort of describing you as like you're the sixth man on the NBA, the ultimate utility man.
That's what I think of myself as. I'm the utility fill-in guy, and I'm happy to be so.
You do have a more regular gig as well,
yes,
right?
Yes. I work for the Twins. I've been doing that for 5-6 years. And I've loved baseball since a kid, Twins fan since I was a kid. And, of course, you know, I'm a weather nerd. So add all those things together, to be able to be one of the meteorologists for the Twins is the best I could ever have.
As I remember, when Target Field was built,
mm-hmm.
it was unusual that the Twins had set up like an office for their team meteorologists, and that they had employees rather than calling the local TV station. They had their own people. Now I think it's more common, but it was pretty unique when it first started.
Oh, it's really still the only
ball club
has somebody at the, as far as I know, all the time, every home game, somebody right at the right at Target Field.
And what are, when you're looking, because, you know, making that decision on whether to you know, play a game or delay it or whatever, is that a stressful thing for you to have to make that call or make that recommendation?
Thankfully, I compare it to when people ask me that question, almost like in a trial, an expert witness. Mm. They don't take, you know, I'm not the one making the decision. My bosses make that decision. Larry, head groundskeeper, Matt Hoy, they're the ones who make
they
that
decide.
Decision. Right, right. I just give that they want my opinion of when I think things are going to start rain-wise, when they're going to stop. Is it going to rain, period? And then they make the decision based off logistics beyond that. So thankfully, I don't have to do the hard part of going, we should cancel, we shouldn't cancel.
Yeah, maybe to a certain degree, it's a burden off
right.
of you that you just lay out the evidence and
right.
let them, yeah. That
exactly.
way, you're not the one that's wrong for the people driving in from Brainerd or whatever to
right.
come see the game, you know?
Oh, I've been that fan.
You've been the fan,
I've
right?
Been that
so
fan.
You know how important it is. It's
it is.
A big deal.
Well, when we lived in Iowa, right when Target Field opened, I worked in Iowa when I was a chief meteorologist down there at a station, and you know, we had season tickets. We wanted to come up for games, but exactly whether it was going to be played or not, we had a few rained out on the weekend.
Mace Michaels is with us here on Jason Talks to the Media.
See, now that here he is, you're such a professional. I know radio. Listen to that. He's doing, you know, the
I've
program.
Had to learn, right?
Your PD must be thrilled. There
yeah.
you are,
oh,
circling
yeah.
it back around every couple of minutes.
I've had a couple talkings. Dan, the producer, is like, yep.
Hi, Dan. I love seeing Dan here. I mean, I'm not used to somebody overrunning the board separate.
Right.
I'd have to do that myself when I worked radio.
Dan did teach me. So it is funny coming from, you know, I think I've been in TV for 25 or 30 years almost before I came over here. And I probably, like you, as a meteorologist, you know how to work your computers, you know how to make the maps, do all that stuff. I don't know if all the viewers know, but like when you're doing weather, you build, you know, some of this is templates that automatically populate
right.
the temperatures and stuff. But a lot of it you build and you make. You get used to having some control. Like here, I don't really, like if all hell broke loose, just last week, Dan taught me which button to make sure I can turn on the traffic or go to JP in traffic. I know a little more now on which buttons to push, but it's weird to not have control.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I started in radio. My first love is radio. So this I enjoy being
and
in
you've
here.
Been,
let alone.
You've been on radio here in the Twin Cities quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah. We do some forecasting for some of the stations here. And then also outside of the, you know, all across the upper Midwest, actually, Sevier Studios. Corey Hartman. He worked over with you at CCO in engineering for a little while back.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and he has his own company. And we, radio wise, we do a bunch of radio stuff.
Oh, cool. Mace, we're getting a lot of texts.
I mean, I'm no Mike Lynch.
People love
That's
you.
That's who I grew up
People
listening to.
People love you.
To.
The response on Twitter today
it.
To this was unbelievable.
I don't believe it. Well, Get out of here.
Yes, everyone was so nice.
Well, I can't.
Maybe I'm just not used to people being nice on social media, but today people just were going bananas for you.
I'm not on enough to irritate anybody.
That's right. Whatever irritating parts of your personality, you're in, you're out, nobody gets to know it.
Right. That's the best part of it.
Mace,
you
one
know,
of our...
a small dose of TV is always the best.
Yes, you're especially and when you're a meteorologist, usually your office is in the studio, so you're sort of away from everybody anyway.
Yeah.
Do you like that? The sort of
the being away from everybody,
the quietness, yeah.
In the studios has its plus and minuses. You can get there quickly, but if you need to do anything with nobody around, good luck.
Right. Someone's always
take
in
a phone
there.
Call, whatever. Right.
One of our texters calls you the rent a meteorologist.
Sure. Pay me well enough, Al. You can rent me. You want me to come to your place?
You're available. did you work in Eastern South Dakota? Another texter saying, I swear I saw Mace in South Dakota last year. Have you worked in South Dakota?
I worked in Eastern South. It was about 3-4 years ago. I did some freelance at KSFY for weekends. They were short a weekend person, so I drove out there and worked with them. But I do some radio out in Eastern South Dakota as
What cities have you worked in outside of the Twin Cities?
I started in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Best job ever. You know, when you're starting off, great little city. Somebody was asking me on Twitter, where did the name come from? It came from the GM a half hour before my first weathercast.
So what happened? Your real name is what? Or do you want to say?
Well, Mace is my middle name.
Mace is your
middle name. And Twig is my last name, but it became Michaels from the GM there.
The GM didn't like Twig.
Didn't like Twig, and he just said, well, we need to come up with something. They hemmed and hawed for a half hour, and I'm like, I have to do my first weathercast. I don't care what you're calling me.
You guys pick it.
You pick it, exactly.
I thought that was going to happen to me in my first job, that they were going to make me change my name.
Oh, really?
Because there was another reporter named Jason at the station.
Okay.
So two Jasons. I'm like, well, they're not going to tolerate that. And they didn't care.
There's two Jasons just, all over the world.
Yes, I had just had it in my head. But Twig was – do you ever wish you had your real name or do you like having this?
Michaels is so stuck with me now. After that, I worked in Grand Rapids and Fort Myers and then Tampa. And once I got to Tampa, you meet so many people after that you just – the name stuck. They ask, can we use Michaels? And I'm like, sure, I guess. I don't care. I'm in Tampa now.
It doesn't
Thank
matter.
You.
Right. It doesn't matter. All right. More with Mace Michaels, the rent-a-meteorologist.
Oh, you were getting pushed for the break. I saw that look.
You saw the look.
I saw the look.
I got the look. Like, let's go. Let's go. Duresh's got to sell something in this break. That's right. We got to talk windows, Mace.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do that in just a second. More with Mace Michaels here on Jason Talks to the Media on Drive Time. Mace Michaels is our guest. As far as we can tell, he's the only on-air television meteorologist working at multiple stations at the same time. You're a freelancer. You fill in for people as they're on maternity leave or vacation or sick or whatever the case may be.
Happy to help when they need me. I was hoping to talk up that ramp. It's been a few years since I talked up Little Eyes.
We could play a little song for you and see if you could do it. We could see if you still have it.
Oh, that's been a while.
This was not your career design, right, to be bouncing around. You just thought you'd be at a TV station like anybody else.
Right, yeah. 15, 20 years there, find your home.
Right.
Sit there, and then there you go. You know, you get the great job, move up maybe from weekends. If I'm lucky enough to work into mornings or chief, fantastic. But it, you know, just didn't work out that way for me. And, you know, I wanted to get back to Minnesota. After we were in Florida for such a long period of time, my wife and I, you know, she wanted to stay in Florida. If she's listening, I left the radio on at home. If the dogs haven't ran her outside right now, she wanted to stay. And she's been so incredibly supportive of all the jumping.
You couldn't do it without a supportive partner.
Right, right. And she,
because it's a crazy existence.
Right. And we've known each other for, you know, we first met 30 years ago, again, up north. So she's been with me since all the radio fun.
Yeah.
And she understands it. Unfortunately, has to put up with it.
One of our texters is asking why sometimes TV or radio people change their names. I feel like it's less common now. It was more common 20 years ago. Today, everybody is, I think, frankly, employers are sensitive about asking someone with a name to change it.
Right.
Because they're just going to get roasted for being racist or whatever.
I agree.
But 20 years ago, they didn't really care about that. They were trying to come up with something that was memorable or or easy for a viewer to pronounce, I guess.
Yeah, you wanted something that rolled off the tongue you would hear or that would be memorable. Well,
when I was in college, I thought about like what my fake radio name would be because I wanted to be in radio.
Sure.
And I grew up like during the morning zoo kind of
Oh, Zookeeper, yeah.
Phenomena. So I'd like, let's go to, I was going to be Jason St. Bob.
Oh, I like it.
Just my middle name's Robert. Like throwing a saint sounds fancy. I don't know. That's what I was going to go with.
I was Mace Fox at a couple of stations.
Oh, Mace Fox.
When I worked Top 40.
That's pretty good.
In college. Yeah, well, I didn't sound very good. I worked at the Power Loon, up north.
Oh, the Power Loon. Power Loon.
Oh, yeah, so lots of fun places.
Ooh, you hear the loon. I love the Power Loon when I'm driving up north.
Where else are you going to find a loon in between a sweeper? This is your bump.
So funny. Mace Michaels is with us. If someone came along with a full-time TV job, would you want to do it, or are you happy with the way it's set up right now?
It would have to be the right fit.
Yeah.
I don't know
which
if that
of your
would
state,
be.
Who do you not like?
Oh, you're going to ask me these type of questions?
Who is the worst to work with, and why hasn't WCCO hired you yet?
I was waiting for all of these questions. You waited till the second block. Who do you love more, Mace? Your mom, dad, or your wife, or your brother?
Do you have, like, some favorites from, you don't have to say, like, who you like the best or who you don't like, because they're TV people, a lot of strong personalities.
I work with so many great people.
But you work with very nice people.
Oh, I'm so lucky.
I'm trying to think, like, today, who are the giant jerkwads in TV news? And there aren't as many.
Well, you're out of it now, so there. See?
Perfect.
I can deflect if I need to.
Perfect. That was very well done.
I tried.
Mace, it was great to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. This is awesome.
It was really fun. And people, I love seeing you. I love playing Where's Mace? It's like, what station is he on? The first you've gotten some national pub about this, too, on a national TV website. They're just fascinated by you.
FTV's been around for a long time, that website.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know if it was good press at first. I was like, oh boy.
If you're in there, it's often not good.
Right. It usually isn't good. Oh, I'm getting the rap. I thought I only got that in TV.
The big hook.
Oh my goodness.
It happens here too. I have the same problem. I talk too long. All right.
Is the program director going to validate my parking? I'm a freelancer. Where's the PD?
That's right. We'll try to find him. 4:31.
Oh, he's gone. 4:30?
Traffic and weather coming up on CCO.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Playing Fleetwood Mac today, Christine McVie died. News broke this afternoon. She was 79 years old. Her family said she had a short illness. That's all we know about that. But love, relationships, lost love, breakups, all part of her lyrics and some of the greatest songs for sure. 70s, 80s, incredible music of that era. So we'll hear more of that, and we'll have a guest on, too, to learn more about the impact of Christine McVie and Fleetwood Mac coming up at 5 o'clock. Lots of giveaways today. We've got Pink tickets sometime in this show. Pink performing at Target Field. And it's also Wolves Wednesday, so we're giving away Timberwolves tickets in advance. They're not for tonight's game, but the Wolves are at Target Center tonight at 7 against Memphis. And we'll have coverage, of course, like we do of every game here on the home of the Wolves, News Talk 830 WCCO. Breaking news overnight in the fight against Alzheimer's. But if you're trying to figure out if this is good news or disappointing news, then you're with me. The coverage of a big research clinical study on a drug that we were hoping would make a big difference in slowing the initial symptoms of Alzheimer's. The study came out, the results came out today, And I suppose I would characterize it as disappointing. I'm curious what Dr. Ronald Peterson, the director of the Mayo Clinic Alzheimer Disease Research Center, would have to say about it. Dr. Peterson is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Doctor, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Is disappointing a fair way to characterize kind of what we've found out about this new drug?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I guess I'm more upbeat about this than the disappointing. I think that this drug does, it's a first step in the right direction of a drug that may actually slow the progression of the disease, as you described. That's huge. That's a disease-modifying effect. So I'm upbeat about it.
The drug is called, how do you pronounce the name of this drug?
Lecanemab.
Lecanemab. And there was some release from its manufacturers, Eisai and Biogen, a couple of months ago that sort of led to excitement about it. There is benefit, and I suppose this is a good cautionary case for those of us who are hopeful for, you know, you can look at this as a patient, you can look at this as a doctor prescribing medication, and you can look at this as a researcher working towards finding answers. And I think depending on where you are on that continuum, you might have a different reaction, right?
I think that's right. I mean, I think most importantly, we have a responsibility to our patients, to be honest with them. Since we've not had a drug that really modifies the course of the disease until now, assuming this is going to be approved by the FDA, I think that's an uplifting message.
Yeah. Why has it been so challenging to figure out how to slow the progression or block the progression of Alzheimer's disease?
Well, Alzheimer's disease is a complex disorder. It's not that, you know, it's not like we got one bug, we give an antibiotic, and it goes away. This is a complex disease that involves network failures in the brain. And it's generally characterized by two proteins, amyloid and tau, that are deposited in the brain and cause the damage. But these two proteins do not exist alone. As most people, aging is the biggest risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. And as people age, they may develop Alzheimer's, but they may develop a bunch of other things too. So there are other things that go wrong in the brain. We got vascular disease, little strokes, things of that nature. Another protein that's associated with Parkinson's disease called Lewy bodies. Another protein called TDP-43. So given that many of these are operating at the same time, if we're able to attack one of these targets, that may give us a modest effect. And I think that's where we are right now. But it is a step in the direction.
They studied this over 18 months, pretty big, 1,800 patients or so with mild symptoms. And Alzheimer's is one of those things that, you know, each patient seems to have sort of a different progression. But often there's this early onset phase where kind of it's harder to remember things. You have some of those symptoms, and that's what they were looking at here, right?
Exactly. The most of the people in this study have what's called mild cognitive impairment, and that means that I'm not remembering as well as I used to, but perhaps not as well as I ought to. So this is the very earliest stages often of what becomes more serious Alzheimer's disease later. So they were getting patients who are very early in the disease process, and that's where it seemed to slow. And again, for people at that stage, that's important.
Yeah. The challenge to this is that some patients experience brain swelling or brain bleeding, right? And so you have to weigh, when you come to the, you know, the practical use of this medication, does the, you know, moderate or mild slowing of the cognitive decline, is it good enough to be worth the risk of brain swelling or brain bleeding?
Sure. So that's the honest discussion that the clinician needs to have with the patient and family. We've got a drug that may, in fact, slow down this process, try to keep you where you are right now for maybe several months to maybe a year. But it does exist in the context of a risk of causing brain swelling, brain bleeding. Now, we can monitor that with scans and follow that along.
Right.
And if there's a suggestion of it happening, we could drop the dose of the drug, stop the drug, et cetera. But it's still there and it's real.
How much is this drug going to cost?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question. You know, the kerfuffle a year ago with the other drug called aducanumab came out at an outrageous price. So we don't know right now, actually. And we're hopeful that the company is going to price it at a responsible level, given the number of people and older people who have this. And, of course, then the next big question is who's going to pay for it?
Right.
Is CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, going to pick up the bill? Are private payers going to pick up the bill? Maybe, but I think this will be a discussion that will roll itself out over the next several months.
Yeah, that's always a tough one, for sure. We're talking right now with Dr. Ronald Peterson, a neurologist, the director of Mayo Clinic's Alzheimer's Disease Research Center and the Mayo Clinic Study of Aging. Where are we on research when it comes to Alzheimer's disease? I think the latest number I saw was something like 6 million Americans, is that right, have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's? That's so many. It's so heartbreaking.
50 million.
Yeah.
Worldwide, 50 million, yeah. So I think we are making significant progress. This, of course, is a step in the right direction. But another factor that has come into play is that we may be able to make the diagnosis and or predict who's going to develop clinical Alzheimer's symptoms from blood tests.
Hmm.
We at Mayo and other people around the country, around the world, are working on blood tests that may characterize what's going on in the brain. And that will be incredibly important because now we can reach out to people in rural areas in Minnesota. We can reach out to other underserved populations, African-Americans, Hispanics, who may not have access to these techniques that are needed to document the disease, but by blood tests, we'll be able to do that. So that's a big breakthrough.
And then what happens if you're able to kind of, you know, predict that?
Well, I think the next step for a drug like lecanemab or other drugs that are under development is if they work in the symptomatic phase of the disease, meaning people with mild cognitive impairment, mild dementia, might they better not be applied earlier in the disease process? So we would now take a blood test, see if the person has the tendency to develop Alzheimer's disease and treat them before the symptoms arise. This is what we do in heart disease.
Yeah.
We look at cholesterol.
Yeah.
If it's elevated, we don't wait for the heart attack. We treat it early when the cholesterol is elevated to prevent the heart attack. That's where we're headed with Alzheimer's disease research.
Yeah, which would be very powerful for sure. I know it's a
scary, prevention.
Yeah, it's a scary thing for people when they have it in their family, wondering, is this going to happen to me too?
So it's very common.
Yeah. Dr. Ronald Peterson, director of Mayo Clinic Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, with a little bit of insight, making me feel a little more excited than I was to begin with about this about this new drug. We appreciate your insight today and your work to try to find answers to this really awful, awful disease. Thanks, Doc.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It is 4:48. Wolves Wednesday and Pink Tickets, all of that happening before Henry Lake. His show is at 6, and then the Wolves pregame at 6:30, and the tip at 7, right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Well, you heard the Wolves ticket sounder go, Wolves Wednesday. We gave away a couple of tickets for the December 7th game against the Pacers. Who won, Dan?
Kristen in St. Paul gets 4 tickets to go see that game.
Nice.
And keep listening because Henry will have another chance before the Wolves pregame.
Excellent. Very good. Pregame at 6:30. Wolves tip at 7 here at home. The beginning of the no Karl Anthony Towns era. So, not forever.
What if they get better?
Not forever. They may get better.
I mean, you know, everybody's talking about figuring out that dynamic. What if it works?
It may work. We'll talk to Alan Horton about that at 5:20. CBS is next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.